I assume that like dominant gay men like fucking guys' mouths or whatever. And so then, yeah, you're getting that. Like you're being dominated and it's going to be what you want. And I just think that's why you wind up bisexual if you're going down this road. Like you may actually, now we're going to get another spate of emails, but you may just be bisexual or gay here, because it's like what you actually want is that. You want somebody who wants to do this to you, and like that's the guy.
Hello, and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. I have collected a scandalous list of sexy topics to cover today, including what's a reasonable expectation of cleanliness during anal play, Whether men are expected to do too much work during sex, how to compassionately incorporate a less attractive third into a threesome, how much sex is normal in a young marriage, and more. I am Keith. My co-host is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Keith. How are you doing?
I am well. I was thinking on my run today, So nuns have to take an oath of celibacy, right?
Probably.
Do they need to be? Do Catholic nuns need to be virgins, or do they just need to be virgin, or do they just need to be celibate after they take the pledge?
I'm gonna guess that it's the second one, that they don't have to be virgins. That seems unlikely.
I mean, I don't know. Catholicism is. And what about priests? Do priests need to be virgins?
No. No, because okay, they can have committed. I mean, look, the reality.
Because what would the vow of celibacy mean if you were previously? I mean, it means you're celibate from that point forward.
But I mean, look, all this stuff's negotiable because you can just commit the sin and then be forgiven.
And still become a priest or a nun?
Yeah. I mean, like if a priest has sex, he doesn't stop being a priest. He just committed a sin. He broke his
vow. I didn't know that. I thought maybe you would get excommunicated or something.
I don't think so. No, I mean, you can simply, just confess that you've, fallen short, et cetera.
Right. And then you say your seven Hail Marys and then you're.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that you could get in trouble for where, I mean, I think the most important thing would be lack of contrition. If you did the thing, then you might actually get kicked out.
And do you have to express contrition? You just need to apologize. I guess that is the definition of contrition.
Yeah.
I got myself there.
Right.
Okay. Well, the thing I was wondering is, could a nun get artificially inseminated and carry a child? Would she be allowed to do that?
Almost certainly not. Because
why?
I'm actually sure not. Because I'll tell you why. Because I actually have a Catholic friend that I've discussed these topics with before.
Good.
I can speak with some authority. I'm not a religious myself, but I can get there. The issue with, and this comes up with the IVF thing that was going on in, I think, Alabama.
That's why I was thinking about
it. Yeah, okay. Republicans got their wires crossed a little bit because they want no abortion, but they want IVF, right? But the problem is that the Catholic Church's position on this is that once you do an artificial thing to get pregnant, you've already committed the sin. You've already committed the wrong. And then it's hard. What my friend told me is it's hard to talk about what's right and wrong after that. So, and the reason I had this conversation with him is I think I was trying to trap him into some conversation about, well, yeah, I mean, like, let's say that you do IVF. Now you have all these extra fetuses or something. I was trying to like come up with something and he basically stopped me and said, well, the problem, like I would go back to the IVF and say, like, it's hard for me to reason about it after that because you've already committed a sin. And so
doing the
IVF,
fertilizing the egg was
right.
But fertilizing the egg seems like it should be okay. It's the discarding of the unused eggs.
No, it's not because you could get to some sort of real granularity here in terms of, but I think in general that what a Catholic person would say, a very devout Catholic person, is that the way that you should become impregnated is with a human, living penis inserted in your vagina. You should not.
What does the Bible say about that?
Well, I mean, realize that. this is like all theological, but like the Catholic Church, at least, it's not just what the Bible says, right? There's like tradition and what sort of the church has said over the years. So it's like beyond, it would be more Protestant churches that would be like, hey, look, let's look for a Bible citation about this, right? So they're going to say that like this is traditional and what's come down over the ages. Are you madly searching to try to disprove what I'm saying?
I'm asking ChatGPT, what's the Pope's stance on IVF?
Good. Let's see if my friend
is clear stance against in vitro fertilization.
I'm pretty sure. I think you know this friend as well, and he's pretty knowledgeable, and he's a lawyer, and is pretty knowledgeable about sort of the legal aspects of they call it canon law, church law, and so yeah, I'm pretty sure he'd be on the ball on this.
The Vatican's main objections to IVF include the separation of procreation from the conjugal act.
There we go. Yeah, I told you.
The disposal of embryos, which is the thing that I thought of, and the potential for eugenics or selective breeding practices. Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, they, it's interestingly, they want that, they want you to nut in a vagina. It's sort of an interesting element of their religion is that, that's important. And, but I mean, from a sort of an argumentation standpoint, it does allow them to sidestep a lot of these issues because they can just say, look, we're not in favor of any of this. And so none being artificially inseminated, no, because of the artificial insemination. Interestingly.
I see.
I have taken a position.
I thought I found an end around here where you could have a nun with a baby, but I see they've secured all the back doors.
Yeah, all the back doors. I've taken this position with lesbians before, where I say like you should, you know, find them. Like I basically volunteered to be their meat artificial inseminator, but that is, I will tell you, extremely boorish of a man to do because lesbians don't want to have that conversation.
Yes, and they've probably had it with.
That's probably true.
Plenty of people suggesting
this feels like the ask. I guess you told me this, asking a black woman about her, or saying you like her hair.
Right.
It's like that. Like it's a thing where it's like, oh, this is this obvious thing to say because often they have really cool hair. But you can't because everyone says it.
It's out of bounds,
yeah,
right?
So it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah. My sisters are twins and they get, every time it comes out that they're twins, the person they're talking to will be like, oh, I know a set of twins. And my sisters are like, yeah, that's great. Right. Never heard that before.
Well, it's like 1 in 100 births or something is a twin birth. Although maybe identical twins are less common than that. I'm not sure. They probably are.
Identical are far less common than fraternal, especially now because there's a zillion fraternal twins from IVF.
Right.
Do you know why that is?
I assume because they implant like 5 or 6 embryos, not knowing how many will take. And then
they actually implant 2. So when they first start with IVF, they implant 1. But if that's not taking, they'll start implanting 2.
I have a friend from college whose mom had that done. Well, I don't know if it was IVF, but had something like that done in the 1970s. Yeah. And he has triplet sisters.
Yeah. I actually don't know if they eventually go beyond 2. Yeah. Part of the problem is to implant 2, you need to harvest 2 eggs. And harvesting eggs is sort of a onerous, involved process that is not very pleasant. And so, you know, you might not want to fire all your barrels at once.
Yeah.
But if you're having problems conceiving, then the probability of a single one implanting is much higher if you implant more than one.
Right, right. And then you can, yes, this gets again to that religious objection because you're basically guaranteeing that you're going to cause the death of some number of the embryos, even though in the natural order of things that would happen anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's not really an embryo.
It's a zygote.
Oh boy.
The potential embryo?
Look, you're going to be beyond me in the, what's the difference between an embryo and a zygote is as soon as it's fertilized, and an embryo is once it's embedded into the uterus.
I'm not sure. Right? I think a zygote is just a little embryo.
Little.
The beginning. This is eighth grade biology.
How many stem cell, how many cell divisions before it becomes an embryo?
Good question. Don't know. We'd have to get someone to email in.
All right. Did you have something for us before we get to the topics du jour?
Yeah. So there's an article that I ran across while we were chatting before the show. This is apropos of some of the stuff we talk about sometimes on the show. So this is ripped from the headlines today. Disturbing rise in teenage boys demanding rough sex and choking girls as young as 12. A survey of...
Wait. Sorry. Not choking girls as young as 12.
Yeah.
But a rise in boys wanting to choke, and the boys are as young as 12.
I don't think it matters because I think the girls are typically around the same age as the boy, right?
Fair point.
So a survey of 5,000 women at a Midwestern university suggests a rise of 40% of choking incidents occurring between the ages of 12 to 17, up from 25. So a rise to 40%. So
hold on. How are they measuring choking incidents?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, presumably they just ask them if you've been choked by a partner during sex.
A 12-year-old?
No, they ask them when they're
in. And the line is at 12, they ask 11-year-olds, and it's still the same as it used to be?
No, they ask girls that are in college what their experience was between age 12 and 17. And apparently 40% reported that between 12 and 17, someone had choked them. So, you know, they're talking, it's a normalization, therefore, of rough sex through the culture.
Okay, but did they do the same survey 20 years ago?
No, they did.
The numbers were lower?
They did. It was 25% in a previous survey. So it's going
up. It was 25, and what is it now?
40.
Huh. Yeah. Methodology, potential methodology errors aside, that tracks. I think that rough sex is, well, for starters, access to porn is much more prevalent than it was 20 years ago.
Okay.
And also, I think rough sex is portrayed and even aggrandized in the media a lot more. I've been watching this show called Insecure, which was on HBO from like 2016 to 2021. And it has a lot of sex in it. And they sort of explore some of the emerging sexual norms around rougher sex on that show.
Okay.
And the show was very popular. And then there's the show Euphoria with Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney.
That one gets brought up. What is that show? But that gets brought up on TikTok. I don't know when.
Yeah. So Euphoria came out before the pandemic. The first season came out before the pandemic, and it has Zendaya in it. Do you know who she is?
She's an attractive woman.
Yes, but that could have been a lot.
Probably not
guess.
My type, I think. No, I know just from that, but I'm going to guess. I mean, yeah, she's not my type.
She's from Oakland, by the way.
It's nice.
Her backyard.
Yeah.
But so she's like a super duper star now. She's dating whoever the guy who was in the most recent Spider-Man movies was, Tom Holland. Tom something.
All right. Yeah.
The other stars from that show have also sort of become A-listers. Anyway, that show explores high school. There's a lot of sex in it, and it takes place in high school. In fact, the first episode has a scene where a trans teenager is slept with by a much older man. And
which direction trans?
It is a man who wants to be a trans woman.
Yes.
Is that the right, is that the proper terminology?
Yes,
here?
Because they want to be, you want to use the word for what they are becoming, not what they were.
Okay. It's a trans woman. And this actress, her name is Hunter Schafer, and she's like a model now in like Billboard campaigns. You can look her up if you like.
Okay.
But the first episode is she meets a man on some app, and they meet at a motel, and he has very rough sex with her. And there's
what kind of sex do they have? Like, is it shown?
He sodomizes her, and it's sort of unclear. It seems like it's forced, but it's not, I don't remember exactly. And I want to be careful not to get myself into trouble here, but it's not completely clear that it was non-consensual. It was certainly not romantic.
Okay.
But anyway, these types of shows are a major part of the American zeitgeist now.
Mm-hmm.
And that and increased access to porn, I think, alone would be exposing young boys' minds to these ideas that these things are normal. And so it's not surprising that would happen. I don't know. I mean, you remember in the 90s and like early 2000s when everyone was worked up about violence in video games.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I'm not sure if the increase in to the extent there even has been an increase in violence in the U.S., I'm not sure there has.
What do you think is the age from a survey at which at the average age at which a young person first sees pornography, whether on purpose or by accident? What would your guess be?
Now, in 2024?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I mean, the thing is, kids have access to smartphones now. So if they ever get mom's smartphone when they're 7,
right,
like I'm sure as soon as they can type, they might type in like naked woman or something.
Right. So you're guessing like 8 or 9. The, according to this article, it's 12, but that seems wrong to me. That seems mm-hmm. way too old.
I agree. That's probably people not admitting.
Right. Or maybe not remembering. Maybe it wasn't notable to them.
Or maybe smartphones didn't exist when they were 8, because that would be 16 years ago.
Oh, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So yeah.
Right. So iPads and smartphones and just laptops everywhere is...
Right.
This might be lagging a little bit.
That'd be pretty great if you were going, there's always like in Costco or the supermarket, you'll see the kid in the shopping cart, sitting in like a little chair in the shopping cart. And nowadays often has a phone. It'd be pretty funny if you were walking by one and they were just watching a fucking nasty porn. A 2-year-old is like, yeah, the moaning. Slap her, slap, give it to her.
Got to get that screen time. Yeah. Anyway, so the result of that survey that you just said, again, notwithstanding any methodological errors, I mean, that sounds, that tracks to me.
Right. Basically,
any theory?
Well, basically, this is boys seeing what they see in porn and then emulating it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not porn only, Mike. Like, Euphoria and Insecure were, like, massive hits.
Is there any effort in Euphoria, for example, to... help young men understand what would actually pleasure a woman? Probably not, right? Which is ironic because they're trying to be politically correct and sensitive and everything.
The show's gotten into some hot water. Apparently the director asks people to be maybe nude more than they would like. There's this one actress named Sydney Sweeney who plays like a high school cheerleader. And she, you know, she's very chesty. And she and some other actresses on the show have complained that, they were sort of nudged toward nudity. They didn't want to do, but then they're all careful to say, but then I just brought my concern to the director and then we changed the scene because I think none of them want to look a gift horse in the mouth. Like that, the reason for their fame is that show.
That must be complicated. I mean, I wonder what their thought process even is because. Yeah, I guess that maybe the optimal outcome is to do it, get the notoriety for it, but then later say you were forced to do it.
Yes. Do you remember Megan Fox tried that with the director of Transformers?
No. Go on.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Transformers director. Michael Bay. And I don't know if you saw the first two. Listeners, Mike famously detests movies.
I like a few movies.
He's above them. He likes Shawshank Redemption, and I think that's the beginning and end of the list. Oh, and The Empire Strikes Back.
That's those a good one.
Those are the two movies you like.
Yeah. Those are up there.
Okay. If you think of any other in the course of this episode, let us know.
I like The Godfather and The Godfather 2. Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, not 3. Nobody likes 3. So
that's impossible.
I'm with you there. Well, anyway, Megan Fox was this like... late teen, or maybe she was in her early 20s when they shot that movie. And yeah, she basically serves as like a pinup model to, you know, get people. They could put her on the poster and put her in the preview, and like she didn't have a very thought-provoking role in the film, let's say. And she came out after the second one and she complained about it a bunch, and then they fired her, or she wasn't in the third one. But yeah, it occurred to me that, like, I guess I sort of understand her point of view, but she's again,
it's hard because
but she's yeah, the reason why she got famous is because of that bimbo role. And she's right that it was a lame role, but it's not like she was going to get, you know, a role that 60-year-old Meryl Streep gets at that point in her career. So.
Right. I mean, it's a little hard to go along with her critique there because that's the entire reason why they would select her. I mean, something like that could happen to a man as well, depending on his physique, or maybe you're looking for a man with a really large penis for your role or something. I don't know. You could have that happen.
It could. No, there's movies where, you know, people are just there for the way they look. It's just that, I don't know, like, for example, Ken in the Barbie movie was an A-list Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and maybe it's that like women don't care for their eye candy to be teenagers or early 20-year-olds like men prefer them to be.
Sure. I mean, it's not that surprising to me that you wouldn't have the most compelling role possible in a movie called Transformers. I've never seen the movie, but I'm imagining it's the Autobots and the Decepticons.
You got it. Yeah, right. There's Optimus Prime and who's the bad guy? Megatron.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the bad guys are airplanes and the good guys are cars, so the bad guys always win. I mean, they should, but they somehow don't. It's really stupid.
There's a rock, paper, scissors thing going on.
I don't think so. I think airplanes are better than cars. Always.
Yeah.
Like military.
But they can all fly, I think. I don't
Oh, well, that's remember. that helps. So you're a car. Yeah, anyway, whatever. Yeah, anyway, in such a movie, I wouldn't expect that. But back to this Euphoria TV show. So essentially, it's continuing along the trend of... essentially, you're just tracking on what you would see on Pornhub, but just like more closer to G-rated, R-rated, right? Like you're becoming more and more kind of aggressive over time.
You might watch it. You're going to find it very... you'll find it boring, but I think it might... I think it provides some interesting inspection into the zeitgeist.
Yeah, okay.
And the hair and makeup is sort of famous for the way they've done that.
That's the kind of thing I usually remark on, is hair and makeup.
Yeah, it is remarkable in that show.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. By the way, speaking of porn sites following the zeitgeist, I became aware recently that on Pornhub, and I think this has to do with F2M, transsexuals, there's a pretty large, so to speak, amount of content on Pornhub and these various porn sites now of people with gigantic clits. Have you encountered this?
No. I don't use Pornhub for discovery of new content. I sort of have my greatest hits. How do you, like, I know you're much more explorative than me. Like, where is there like a, you know, like on Reddit, you can go to new or rising.
Yeah.
And you can sort of be on the cutting edge of what the new memes are going to be that way.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do that on Pornhub?
Yeah. Yes, there is. The way that I do it is I go to the NSFW 411 subreddit. Then they'll have various, and I'll like do the top this week, and they'll just be weird things people ask for. And so I think this one, there were a couple the postings that led me
with big clits.
Well, I mean, it was, I think, I'm not, I don't remember the exact postings on there that led me into this dark or maybe very light corner.
How convenient.
Of the universe. But it was, I mean, it's sort of striking. These are not what I would consider. I mean, I remember videos from
the clits.
Yes, this is clearly, I think, hormonally altered. Although maybe not. Maybe some of these people are intersex, and like it's just becoming more normalized. So like maybe there is now porn being filmed of people that just before would have been, you know, frankly, not considered attractive or something that you would want to film.
Can you describe to me the type of, I was going to say man, but person who might be seeking out big clit content? Yourself excluded.
Yeah, I mean, mine is definitely kind of intrigue and curiosity for sure.
Yours is anthropological.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, this isn't, it's a little hard to get sort of aroused or attracted to it because it's just, it crosses some border where it's not obviously male or female. And so you're not sure, it's almost medical, right? It's like, oh, this is not, like, I believe the person is being aroused by the manipulation of this body part, but it just doesn't look like body parts that your brain would...
So you can imagine, like, David Attenborough commenting on...
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if I want to go that far, but I mean, it's basically like, you know, you just have this body part that's kind of engorged, looks sort of penis-like, maybe, but kind of slimy and with hair around it, and they're just manipulating it. And you're kind of like, all right. I mean, it's a little strange. You want to know who would be aroused by this? I mean... I'm guessing would it be more women? I'm not sure, honestly, who would be specifically looking for this. Like, you can't really ask that. And also, I've been banned from NSFW 411. I can't comment on it anymore.
I mean, you could use one of your 17 alt accounts.
That's true. I could. I bet I don't want to get that one banned. And I think that asking, like, what kind of person would be interested in this is probably against the rules. That probably is, like, one of the things you can do.
Because the implication is that you're shaming it.
Oh, for sure. Right. People are supposed to be able to ask for it directly.
I don't think I'm shaming it. I mean, I guess since we're exploring the topic, somebody, a man who was really into content like that, I might question his straightness.
I don't think that, I'm not sure that would be right in this case because it's not... Look, and I, if I had to, like, I can understand, having seen this content, I can understand how, and this is true, in historically, when people were babies were born intersex, they often or generally would get sexed female. And I can sort of see how that works in that when you don't have, like, a really clear cock and balls, like, I think your brain does process it as a female body. Right.
Okay.
So even though there's, like, this sort of enlarged part there, you said, I think that, like, what you perceive as male is different from that. It's a little harder to stimulate.
Yeah, but, like, just because I sort something in the female bucket, I think there's degrees of femininity. And for people that are
this isn't gonna...
exploring things that are to the masculine side of the femininity scale, I think that could... correlate or imply something.
Yeah, this isn't going to be posted on God Pussy anytime soon. Or if it did, it would get
right.
It'd be kind of fun to post it and get it down better. But yeah, no, it's strange stuff. Like I don't. It's not like I said. It's not arousing to me. Who would be? Yeah, but there must be. Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm honest that you've got me there. I don't know who would. Obviously, there's a market for it because I discovered that there's a fair amount of this content on the tube sites. And I too was kind of confused about who actually is consuming this. And I didn't do things like look at the number of views. I should have done that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can continue your case study here.
Yes.
All right. We should move on to some of the topics I promised. Okay. We've talked about like anal cleanliness before, but I want to, this has a specific thing I want to get into. All right. This is a 20-year-old, her boyfriend's 25. My boyfriend fingered my butt and it was embarrassing. This is kind of gross and embarrassing. So me and my boyfriend were getting in the mood and he was fingering me and then went into my butt, which was kind of a surprise, but it didn't really bother me. But it was at his mom's house and I can't really go to the bathroom in random places. It's too embarrassing to say.
Okay.
Like it didn't get anywhere or on anything except his finger. So when she says I can't really go to the bathroom, she means poop.
She's saying that there was something in there. There was.
That's yes.
Yes.
And I'll translate for us. And and it got on his fingers. This must be poop. All right. I didn't realize till I went to the bathroom to clean up that when I wiped back there, and then I got really embarrassed and told him to drive me home. So he did and didn't say anything to me about it.
Did he went home, put his finger on the steering wheel? Like where was his?
I'm
really worried about this guy's finger the whole time.
Presumably this house has two bathrooms. So he was able to wash his hands in acid.
You're going to have to, I was going to say, you got to get up under the fingernail. Like this is tricky stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went home and cried because it was so embarrassing for me. I've never had anything like this happen to me, mainly because I've never had anybody do it, blah, blah, blah. Then today, and he brought it up. I was embarrassed. I don't know. I'm so embarrassed. Okay. Yeah. All right. What is a reasonable amount of cleanliness to expect? Like, I think, okay. Let me read the first three comments here because I think they're sort of indicative of like what people think the reality is here, but I disagree with them. All right. This person one says, if you play in the butt, you know what you're getting into. You absolutely shouldn't be embarrassed. That is 4,000 upvotes.
Wow. 4,000.
Yeah. All right. Comment two, people who get into butt play, prepare for it. Your man's sneak attack was met with a counter attack. Simple as that. Don't be embarrassed or feel ashamed. If he wants to go down that road, he needs to be prepared for what lies ahead. All right. And then the last one, nothing to be embarrassed about. Butt stuff sometimes gets messy. Okay.
Well, it was a sneak. Was it in fact?
It sounds like it was a sneak attack.
All right,
so they've never done anything like this before.
Okay.
So I guess in that sense, she kind of shouldn't be embarrassed, but I think there's some onus on her to say like, hey, not today.
Oh, interesting. Because she knew you're concerned because she knew that she had a bullet in the chamber.
She specifically told us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what it's tricky. Look, I think
now she's young. She's 20. She may not know exactly what happens, and maybe it happened quickly.
Right.
You know, there's some off ramps here for her.
This is a thing.
Exonerated.
This is a thing that I don't have a good sense of. I think as a man, you would know very quickly that something was going into your anus because it's a different location from your penis, et cetera. But for a woman, like maybe the proximity might make it actually so that she wouldn't have time. It's believable to me that she might
maybe
not have time.
I think she knew what was happening. It's just it caught her by surprise.
Well, okay. So let's say that he's rubbing the area and his fingers say lubricated from her vagina.
Uh-huh.
The insertion could be maybe he often rubs the area and then it was the insertion.
Maybe, or maybe.
And that could happen under a second.
Maybe, it could.
So if it happened in under a second like that, like, do you think that when he was, you're going to say yes, when he was rubbing the area, she should have said, don't put it in?
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of.
But she's hoping she won't have to bring up that topic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the specifics here.
Like if you
were. But yes. Okay. No. Here's what I think. I think that if somebody is moving toward your asshole and you know you're not ready for that, not because you don't want it to happen, but because you have not done the proper pre-work. You need to say something. You can't just.
Okay.
Like it's on the receiver to say something before it happens.
This does put a special burden on women that would not typically be on men because two reasons. One is that it's less common for it to happen with the male body. And secondly, it's just a further distance to travel. So he has more time.
You really think it's a timing thing? Like
I do.
The man just like quickly, and then, you know, ninjas his way up in there.
It's a combination of timing and the fact that the thing where I have like a lack of certainty is I think that the anatomy is so close together there on a woman that she might.
It is, but. It
might be actually confusing for a second.
In my dalliances into this realm, I'm not trying to do it with a guerrilla attack here.
I think many men do because they're a little embarrassed themselves and they're horny.
But don't you think the right way? That part it sort of excuses all bad behavior. But don't you think the proper way is to sort of slowly insinuate and give her ample opportunity to slowly insinuate the other
way? Sure, but this gets back to that thing of like super informed consent. Where basically, there's like a, what's that guy, Bill Barr? No, Bill Barr was the attorney general.
The comedian?
Yeah, what's his name? Something Barr. Anyway, he talks about.
Bill Burr.
Yeah, that's it. Not the attorney general. Bill Burr, he talks about how like, you know, no means no, but like, it depends on how the word no is said, right? If she's like, no. Right. I mean, there's like a way she could say it that doesn't mean no. And it's the same. Yeah. So like he's making a joke there, but there is like a real thing here, which is that if you require, like nobody wants to do that. Is the point. Nobody wants to have this upfront, super clear conversation because it kind of breaks the spell of what's happening. Right. Like they want to be violated a little.
I hear you. But this doesn't need to be even verbal at all. You know, you sort of. You know,
push his hand away.
No, but like if I'm like bringing my hand, you know, rather than cupping the buttocks, I'm starting to get closer and closer to the crack, closer and closer still, you know, she can sort of squirm in such a way that it's obvious that's not what she wants.
It makes it more exciting for him because it's like, oh, like I'm
The resistance.
Yeah. And the other thing is she doesn't want to. I kind of understand where she's coming from here. She doesn't want to respond in that way because she doesn't want to break the spell. She doesn't want to like make it. She doesn't want to become gross immediately. Like, just so you know, there's a turd in there. Right. Nobody wants to kind of like bring turds like into it.
There's another. I mean, for starters, if you're going towards the asshole, keeping that object out of one's mind is a little bit. tricky. It's hard to do. I mean, once you're in that realm, I feel like poop is sort of on the table.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's tricky.
I don't know.
I think there's another like very related topic to this that I think will toot your horn. That very, very similar. So I was watching a probably TikTok video, and it was from a woman. For some reason, I've now entered into the space of TikTok where I get the Brazilian waxers. I guess
there must be something wrong with their algorithm.
Their algorithm is pretty much perfect, but it's interesting how you stop getting certain kind of videos and you start getting other kind. I really have to stop using this app. I actually think it's bad for my mental health, but let's set that aside.
This arc has been interesting. I remember when I first told you about it, you were like, no. And then, and now look at you. This is,
yeah, no, I've got a disaster. I need to,
this is what happened with the Amazon Echo as well.
Yeah.
How many do you own now?
Like 12.
How many Echoes?
12 yeah. to 15.
Yeah.
Mate, a lot. I have the one, right. I have the one that has a screen on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, who's the new CEO? Andy Jaffe?
It's really stupid, but it has this.
Appreciate your business.
Yeah, it's really stupid. Anyway.
Brazilian wax TikTok.
Yes. So this woman was talking about how.
She's a waxer or a waxy?
Waxer.
Okay.
There's a separate. There's waxies that get on there and complain because, like, apparently it's some women, some waxers don't wax the labia. And so they'll say, oh, it's like I have two kiwi fruit down there.
Oh,
which is an interesting, and then it's a problem.
You know? I've encountered that.
You have?
Yeah. We're like, it's kind of hairless, but then like, as you get like, you know, into the labia, yeah, there'll be some fuzz there.
Okay. So that's apparently.
And I thought it was just a sloppy wax or a sloppy shave. But
I will say that the women that have talked about this happening to them, it's like happening to them, not for them. Like they viewed it as sloppy.
So. I can imagine. It's in that area that waxers get the most complaints, and so some might be a little gun shy.
Possibly. I mean, I think in this case, it's just the ones that I've seen. It was the waxer was just said, "Well, I just don't do that," and then the waxy's like, "Well, now what?" Because I've
sort of a weird red line.
It is.
You know, you're already doing
apparently
the outer labia and maybe the asshole.
Right.
But you're like, you know what?
No, apparently
I'm not getting inside the fold.
Apparently the sort of pyramid of cost and not complexity, but sort of like, as you go up the gradient of difficulty, it's kind of the pubic mound is like the, everybody does that, but the labia,
yeah, of course.
The labia is the next level. And then the anus area is the highest level. So like there are a lot of waxers that will not do the anus area apparently. But I'm not, there's a thing about smell, but go ahead. Or like it's related to the poop that I want to come to.
I don't encounter anus hair very often.
Okay.
I wonder how many women.
Are you looking for it?
I am obsessed with skin, as you know.
So if you have a woman in the doggy style position, you're like, do you have like jeweler's loop you put on?
I kind of try not to, you know, forensically check, but I passively can't help myself.
I think I want to buy you an Apple Vision Pro to use while you're fucking.
And then you see where my eyes go.
No, just so you can then have, well, that too, but then you can have, what I wonder, because, you know, I'm really intrigued by this device. I want to get back to this in a sec, but I'm really intrigued by this device because, you know, you're not seeing the real world. You're seeing the world through a screen.
Yes.
And I just think that's really interesting because it's like, there's some philosophical implications there. Like you're not, it's adding a layer of indirection between you, but it's fast enough that you can like play ping pong.
Yes.
With it. And then it's like, wow. So you don't, but in some ways,
what is the latency? Do you know? Is it like 10 milliseconds?
Something like that. Yeah. It's tens of milliseconds. It's so low that you can do fast Twitch things. You probably can play video games through it. Maybe not Mike Tyson's Punch Out, but you can play fast video. Well, that's Mike Tyson's Punch Out is well known to be like the lowest latency game.
I am still shocked that you were able to beat that game as a
difficult child.
I was not, and I used to be like, oh, no one could, and now that I know that you could, I'm
yeah, it's but you realize you have to do it on a CRT screen. Like it can't, if you put it on a computer, it's impossible. Like, and this is a well-known
yeah screen. But I had a CRT screen,
yeah, that I can't explain,
9 or whatever.
Yeah, you just sucked.
Yeah, but that's what I'm facing. Anyway, go on.
But anyway, I wonder, so if you were fucking while using an Apple Vision Pro, you would actually be watching a porn. Maybe you say, look, my brain can't tell the difference. What does it matter? But it's still kind of interesting to me that you're watching this woman. You're having sex.
I'm watching a time delayed video representation.
Yeah. There's something kind of fun there. Anyway, yeah. Okay, what this?
And I could Photoshop out the asshole hair, or I could ask the AI to remove the asshole hair in real time.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You could have slight modifications to the environment that you wouldn't even necessarily notice as long as they were synced up. Like, yeah,
As long as I don't get my hand up in there.
Well, her breasts could be made bigger as long as like
when as long as you don't touch them.
No, but when you touch them, it could like. I think it could be clever about that. So it puts
you don't think it would be discordant, like holding some like tiny breast and then.
Well, when you move your hand, when you move your hand to touch a woman's breast while having sex, you have tactile feedback and visual feedback. And as long as like it was clever about how it showed you the visual feedback, I think maybe it could fool
you. It could break down for certain kinds of grips, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it just has to put the nipple in the right place and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this woman, what her claim was is that when waxing women, sometimes the sort of lower part of the labia, when you spread it
towards the
anus,
yeah.
When you spread that area, and this is a quote from her. She said, sometimes
I know where this is going.
An eye-watering smell sometimes comes out.
God damn it.
that was notable to me. Eye-watering.
Is it because,
I'm going to assume it's sort of.
All right, listeners, you know, if you want to skip the gross out section, feel free to skip ahead here. But is it fecal matter or is it like discharge accumulates and sweat or what?
The strong implication was it was urine and discharge and that it's basically that area.
Because women know to swipe front to back when they wipe themselves, right? Correct. So that there's no chance of getting fecal matter in there.
Right, but think about that. Think about what you just said. Swipe, wiping front to back is going to sort of naturally accumulate stuff in this kind of lower, more anal-oriented region of the vagina. And I think the point is the labia gets stuck together there, and women may not shower. They may not kind of get that area clean when they shower, and then now you've got like week-old funk in there. And the waxer, of course, has to be sort of pulling everything apart to get to yank on the hair.
Okay.
That's rough, yep. Right?
That's rough.
And have you encountered this in your amorous life?
No. And now, of course.
I'm
really sensitive to smell and like smoothness and like these kinds of things. And I wish I weren't. I wish I were.
To be fair, that anal more... it's not anterior, posterior zone of the vulva is where you're more of an action zone for the penis, right? Because that's, you have to get kind of lower there to actually get to the, the hole, as it were. Yeah. And so this is an area you would have to interact with while having sex.
Yeah. But once your penis is in, it's sort of blocking that area.
That's right.
You're having sex upside down.
That's right. But you would it's an area that you can't avoid. I'm a little surprised actually. It's interesting. That suggests that women have better hygiene for sex with a man or a date. Maybe this isn't surprising than they would with a waxer. Gosh, I feel like it should be equal, or maybe even I feel like it should be equal. Women should have the same hygiene for a waxer as they do for a date.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of like brushing your teeth before going to the dentist.
Is it really that hard to take a shower and you know, spread your labia and swipe around with some soap?
If I was getting my penis waxed or my genital area, I definitely would. Anus, I would be very clean. I would be very clean because
as I do before a date. But yeah, if I was getting something surgically done, I would probably be even more thorough.
Do you clean your anus thoroughly before a date?
What do you mean by thoroughly?
I don't know. You just said just as I would before a date, so I was trying to like double click on that.
I wasn't thinking about my anus. Thinking about like under my scrotum.
Okay.
And
your anus is normal clean before a date. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this gets back to that thing of the original question here, which is the woman. I mean, on some level, you could imagine expecting women before a date to do an enema or something.
Well, yeah, this is where I thought this was going to go. And we can move on to the next topic. But I was thinking about like, what should a woman who likes light anal play? So we're not talking about like full on anal sex, but, you know, she likes having, maybe she likes having a rim job, or maybe she likes, you know, somebody... you know, inserting a finger up to a knuckle or so, like what sorts of preparation should she be doing? And if she's having sex with her partner, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, does she have to like just permanently modify her diet and, you know, pooping schedule to accommodate this kind of habit? Or is this just a foul that happens like once every 10 sexual encounters? Or like,
you've told me that from talking with gay friends about this, that there is actually some kind of a
yeah,
diet thing men, that gay men do.
Gay men like can get like an attachment for their bathtub or shower to give themselves basically an amateur enema. But they're having anal sex, and like that's a bit more violent. And
are so there professional enemas? An amateur. For most, okay, fine. Fair just point. Like a kind of a quick and dirty, so to speak, enema. That makes sense. Yeah. I think that a woman. Well, I mean, the other thing I can imagine is a woman having like some masking tape or something she sticks over her anus when she knows there's a poop in the chamber, just to tell him. She's just like, look, there's brown masking tape there, or like a butt plug kind of deal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Can we move on, please?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this one's short and sweet. Got invited to a threesome, but I'm chubby. I've had threesomes before, but with girls more my size. I got invited to one, but the girl is thin and has a pretty body, and it makes me feel very self-conscious about mine. I feel like I will be huge for them or something.
Can I stop you for a second? When a woman, this is a woman, I take it, says yep. they're chubby, what BMI do you think that means? So BMI, let's just let the listeners know, BMI like 18 to 25 is good. Probably ideal is 18 to 22, yeah. for like health and longevity and stuff. 25, 30 overweight, 30 to 35 obese. So now yeah. go ahead. I'll go first if you want.
I mean, it's high. People who self-identify as fat, which chubby is a euphemism for.
Yes.
Are fat.
Yeah. My thought would be 30.
In general.
I'm thinking 30. So the boundary of overweight and obese is what if I hear chubby, that's what I think. BBW, I'm thinking 35 or 40.
Yeah. She didn't say obese. And so I bet she's not.
That's why I went boundary of overweight and obese. But over, like, if a woman is like at 27, that could just be, so that's overweight, but that could actually just be, see, to me, that might be chubby. But that's not what she means.
No.
She's got those extra 3 points on her. Anyway, go on.
Right. I do want to do it, though, but I always feel insecure about my rolls or stretch marks. Any advice?
We're rolls.
Gonna get so much trouble for fat shaming.
Sorry. I'm sorry for stopping you before that. Rolls implies actually she's obese.
The reason why I brought this up is I want to read the first few comments again. This person says, I think they invited you for a reason, and the reason is that they like your body. If you experience something awful from those people, maybe refrain from joining. And if the situation dictates otherwise, I think you're good. Somebody says, they wouldn't have invited you if they don't find you attractive, OP. Somebody says, they invited you. They obviously want you there. Another person, I agree with everyone. They asked you to join. I think that means they are attracted to you. Another person, if they have invited you, it means they already find you attractive and find your personality conducive to the dynamic. Okay. I think all of these people are basically gaslighting this woman. I think she was invited.
Yeah.
By them.
Wait, what are the genders of the people that invite her? I'm sorry. It's male and a female?
I don't know.
It matters a little because if it's two females, then that could create a different dynamic. But okay, fine. She's been invited.
I presume it's a man and a woman.
Yeah, that's probably right. Okay.
She says the girl, so that implies
yes,
that the
singular.
Other person's a man.
Right.
Yeah, she says, I got invited to one, but the girl is thin and has a pretty body.
I
think it's possible that these people, I think it's possible that these, that something will happen that will make her feel very badly about her body.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yep. And I think pretending that that's not the case and that everything's a-okay here and that she's silly for feeling any shame about it, I think that's going to make what has a fairly high chance of actually happening here even worse.
Yeah, I think if I had to guess in this type of situation, I would guess that she's kind of a low-hanging fruit. You know, she's less attractive, more overweight, so maybe the guy thought, oh, she'll say yes, and he wants to have sex with another woman, but something's going to happen that's going to make her feel, because she's not their first choice.
Yeah, we only have the information we have here,
right.
But who knows how the invite came? Who knows why the invite came? But I suspect that it, like you said, this could not, may not have been their first choice. And then, yeah, like once the clothes come off, I worry that somebody will say or do something like ignore her or something might happen that will give her even more shame about her body.
Right.
And yeah, I just think that the like all these people pretending like that would never happen are basically creating a situation here where she's going to feel worse.
Have you?
I think better advice would be
lose
well,
weight.
So obviously that's the best advice here. But something like, you know, you are a little bit heavier. These people did invite you. If you have enough confidence to go in there and feel like your sexy self, then go ahead and do it. But if you're going to go in there saddled with all this insecurity, then maybe this isn't the best thing for you to do. Like, I think that would be much better advice.
Yes. Yes. I also think that the pain that she's likely to experience is much more likely to come from the man than the woman. And I'm not sure what to communicate about that exactly, but that would be an important thing to understand. Like, if she just interacts with the woman, she'll probably be fine. Yeah. It's the guy that's going to do something like have sex with her and then just kind of ignore her or something. It could be just something nonverbal like that that happens. It'll be tough.
Right.
I was going to ask you, have you seen these things about Wegovy and whatever the other one is? These weight loss? Yeah, now like causing masses in people's intestines and stuff like that.
I am a bit hesitant to believe any of the like anti... What are they called? GLP-1 inhibitors?
Sure.
Stuff just because okay. It is hard to have a better medical intervention than losing weight.
True.
And so whatever downside thing comes up, and we talked about this extensively off air, like needs to be pretty bad to be worse than being overweight. I've seen some clickbaity headlines about this.
Yeah, I think I saw clickbaity stuff and thought, here it comes, because you figure there's always a downside.
Probably.
Look,
I mean, there's lots of medicines that like are very good, like, you know, statins and.
Look, I saw a video yesterday of Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr in London, or for Paris rather, going to do some sort of performance. Those dudes are like 83.
Yeah.
And Paul McCartney's been a vegetarian since like the 70s. He's thin. Like,
yeah.
There's a reason why those guys are able to do stuff still. Like, people should pay attention. I mean, fine if you want to take a drug, but like maybe just eat better and exercise. But okay. Yeah. Rough. Life is rough, man.
It's, I think... Well, whatever. People have different experiences.
Anyhow,
I have some biases here, but I'll give up to myself.
Yeah, no, I mean the woman. I mean, I just it would be so difficult to be sort of feel victimized by being overweight like that. I think that, and you know, I know a lot of it's the mental thing of like I'm doing this to myself, and that must be really hard.
Yeah,
I've been overweight. It sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because, yeah, the subreddit's trying to be like woke and inclusive and helpful there, but I feel like it's doing the opposite. All right. We have time for one more. This person says, are men supposed to do most or all of the work during sex? I'm in my 20s and I've been sexually active for about a year with a few partners. Every single time I've had to do the majority of the work and I'm getting tired of it. Nearly all of the foreplay/oral is focused on my partner. And then the actual sex part is nearly always me on top doing all the thrusting and moving. I've had a friends with benefits for a while, and I mentioned this to her, and she just said, that's how sex is. You're the guy. You're supposed to do the work.
That's right.
Is she right? Yeah, I agree. I've read posts on the subreddit, and it does seem as if men do most of the work, and women just like to receive. And this depresses me because I want sex to be equal, not something where I'm basically used as another toy to get my partners off. Afterwards, I just feel used and discarded.
What?
Yeah, a few more sentences here. I brought this up because this is not my experience. Don't get me wrong, I love going down on girls and fucking them does feel good, but maybe I have some submissive tendencies because sometimes I want a girl to fuck me back or push me down on the bed and have her way with me or just give me oral and focus on my body with no expectation of reciprocation occasionally. But none of the women I've been with have even considered doing this even after I've politely asked them, but I wouldn't want a girl to do something she doesn't want to do anyway. So is this just how sex is? Are women who put in equal effort rare? So I disagree with his analysis that women aren't putting in effort. I mean, in terms of like calories expended, maybe, but yeah, like sex in general is an act that a man does to a woman. And he seems to not like that setup.
Yes. This reminds me, I don't want to get into the weird emails we get in our inbox, but there was this guy who emailed us a couple weeks ago about, when I was in Europe, about, giving us a list of acts to have us rank them based on which was the most gay. Yeah. So let's,
did you respond to that guy?
No, of course not.
Which was the most gay. Yeah, that was a, it was such a detailed email.
Right. But so what he was trying to do, this is why I want to give him a little bit of time of day here. He was trying to, there are people who are upset at us for not being huge advocates of pegging.
Right.
By the way, I had to explain to people in Europe what the word pegging meant. It was in France, but still, like French people don't have a word for this.
Right.
Well, these people didn't. They don't. They didn't. Maybe French people do in general. In any event, he was trying to argue that pegging is not gay. Like people, there's this group of people that listen to us that want pegging to be less gay than it is. But here's a guy where like maybe, I mean, my first thought in hearing about this guy in this question is, you know, he would probably really enjoy going to like a bathhouse and like giving a guy a blow or something. Like maybe there's some behavior that should be like normalized for a guy like this. Like, I don't really, it's hard for me to get into his headspace, but I mean like, okay, so the thing is no woman's going to do that. No woman is going to like take you in the way he wants to be taken.
I mean, there are doms, but they are rare. And
they're going to be simulating for the most part.
I'm very suspicious of women who claim they're doms.
Right.
I think they like feeling empowered, but it's not necessarily sexually arousing to them.
Yeah, I feel this way.
If you could get truth serum into them and get them into their most private thoughts, they'd be like, you know what? I still like it when a man fucks me.
Yeah, I feel this way about,
you know, maybe I'm blind. I don't know.
I think if you really want to have a genuine experience of being dominated, I think you're just going to have to become bisexual here. This is the thing.
That's certainly the easiest way.
Yeah, I think it might be the only way. This is the thing. It's like, okay, I understand what you want. This is how you get what you want. If you can say, oh, I'm going to have a woman peg me. But the thing about it is she's not getting any pleasure out of that. She doesn't orgasm from it. There's no wild abandon on her side. She's doing this thing to kind of placate you. Like, oh, I'm doing this thing to him. There may be some women that get some psychological satisfaction out of it. But they might also be simulating. The place I know somebody would do it and like it is a guy who's gay. I assume that like dominant gay men like fucking guys' mouths or whatever. And so then, yeah, you're getting that. Like you're being dominated and it's going to be what you want. And I just think that's why you wind up bisexual if you're going down this road. Like you may actually, now we're going to get another spate of emails, but you may just be bisexual or gay here because it's like what you actually want is that you want somebody who wants to do this to you. And like, that's a guy.
Yeah.
Like you're describing a man, which is fine.
Right.
Like, it's like, look there.
I'm sure if I go through the comments there, nobody will have said that. That's the frustrating thing. Like, yeah, like I feel like that advice would be useful to him. And hearing him argue it back would be illuminating for us and for him.
Yeah.
I'm sure the comments are all, let's see here. Oh, just find a dominant woman.
Right. You're just not getting it. When have her put you in the, what's that position called? Where you have your legs behind your head.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah. We talked about this a few episodes
back. It's
like
a Greek god or something. I can't remember the name of the position. But yeah. I mean, basically they're positions that the man can go in. She can be on top. There's these sorts of things, but like, it's not really going to get you where you want to be here, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. The comments are predictable. I'm a 52-year-old man. I've had plenty of partners over the years and have had the opportunity to experience sex with women across the spectrum from very submissive and unconfident through to extremely confident and then on to dominant.
It's the Amazon position, by the way. Yeah. That's okay. Fine. I mean, you can find somebody who I just think that yes, they can be more dominant. That's true. But I just think it's worth considering. Like, you're on some spectrum here, and like, I think if I felt this way, look, I mean, giving a guy a blow is fairly low STI risk. Actually, it's quite low.
Yeah.
And can be done in an environment that's pretty safe. And like, you might find that gets you where you need to be. And I think, like, I know this from back when this stuff was allowed on Craigslist. I think I used to comment to you about this, Keith. Like,
you did.
Yeah. Like,
there's more people willing to give blowjobs than want to
receive.
There's
a lot of dudes out there that are looking to give a blow to a gay guy. So, I mean, there must be some like dominant gay guys. My guess is actually that what happens is, unfortunately, then they become selective. And so if you're an unattractive man, maybe chubby, who wants to give a blow, you may have trouble. Because I suspect there's so many men wanting this.
Yeah,
I have no insight into this, but I suspect if you go to like the bathhouse or something, you actually might not be able. And that's why you get things like glory holes, because you have like the weird guy back there that's kind of ugly and so forth.
Ugh. Yeah, okay.
And then it's like, what, you know, who, what guys are even using? Yeah, you get sort of a race to the bottom on attractiveness.
I suspect that's all correct.
Yeah.
My intuition before we started this podcast was not that preferences on submissiveness and dominance correlated with sexuality, because the sort of, you know, mainstream woke point of view there is that those two things are completely uncorrelated. They're orthogonal to each other. And
yeah,
but yeah, like as you move towards certain ends on the, you know, the anal play and submission spectrums as a man, I think the correlation and causality maybe,
well, it's
at least non-zero.
Yeah, they're definitely not perfectly correlated. And an example of that is there's this website I've mentioned before where people post, it's like Grindr, where people post like, hey, I'm having a party at my house. And basically people are just going to come and fuck me. Well,
right.
They, and this is a guy, right? They get a bunch of people, a bunch of takers. So these are a bunch of tops or whatever, you know, kind of dominant guys. So these are guys where it's like they're being dominant, but they still want to fuck a guy. So obviously yeah. That's a thing. I just think like if you want to submit to someone, like you're going to, a guy is going to be more compelling. Like that's what I think that's where I would wind up if I were in that cohort. Be like, well, I'm going to try this. And I just think there's a taboo around it, actually. Guys don't want to try it because they're like afraid. And it's like, well, but I think this is actually what would scratch that itch and you'd be happier.
I don't. Yeah, I guess I don't have that itch.
Right. Yeah. I know that.
So like, I don't have to agonize about how to scratch it in a non homosexual way.
Right. Whatever itch I have, I'd be like, yeah, I know that would be worse or something. Like, I'd be like, well, that would make my life worse. But if you're like going around posting on Reddit about how do I get dominance from a woman, it's like, wow,
right.
I think you may be up there.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. Please send us feedback. We like feedback. We especially like negative feedback because it's generally more entertaining and we already have big egos, so we don't really need it stroked. So if you have, mean or critical things to say to us, please send it. We pay $10 for feedback. Just give us your PayPal or Venmo. And the place to do that is ymmvpod@gmail.com. Again, that's ymmvpod@gmail.com. You can also send us questions. Let us know if you don't want us to use it on the air. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary. Sans issue. Je veux et je viens entre tes reins. Je vais et je viens, je me retiens. Non.